This is the message from the one who has the sevenfold spirit of God and the seven stars. I know the things you do, and that you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what little remains. For even what is left is among, is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet requirements of my God. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. If you do not wake up, I'll come to you suddenly, as unexpected as a thief. Yet there are some in the church in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. This is the word of God. We may sit down. So I once heard of a zealous preacher. He came one Sunday morning and told his congregation that they were dead, and he was going to do a memorial, a funeral service the next Sunday. So he says, go back next week, we have a funeral here in church. So when the congregation came the other week, they found a casket. And he taught them that if you don't believe that you are dead, why don't you come and take a sneak preview in the casket, line by line. So everybody in the church came. But when they looked, they found a mirror, which means they were looking at themselves. They were looking at themselves. But he was trying to make a point, though he was just trying to be zealous, because I'm thinking it took him time to go find a casket and put it in front. But then he had a point. He had a point, because every time we mention the word church, we always think of a building, or we always think of us, you know, as one big happy family, which is true. But a church is made of individuals. A church is made up of you and me. We make up the church. So as this letter in Sardis is being written, or was being written, we find out that it was written to people like you and me. It was for the individuals in that church. And experts in church growth say there are four stages of almost all churches. Four stages. The first one is the movement stage. So this is where a church is just starting. So there's a few group of people fired up to reach out to the different community, share the gospel. They spend time interceding for the church. There are great things that they are trusting God for. So the first stage, they call it the movement stage. And there's the second stage, they call it the magnificent stage. This is where dreams have come true for that church. Now the church is filled up with people. Their outreaches worked, and we find out that a lot of activities now, they are happening, you know, growth groups, kids church, and things like that. It's like, it's what the church wanted at first. And this stage is called the magnificent stage. But then we start coming to the third stage. It's called the monument stage. So this is where the church do things in order to maintain their reputation. So everything that the church does evolves around them maintaining their name. And It's also in this monument stage that we find out that things are done because that's how they are supposed to happen. Nobody dare say something. It's like, this is how we have always done this. So that's the third stage. And the fourth stage is called the mausoleum stage. That's when the church now just dies. Just dies, literally. And this is what we found out in this Sardis church that is being written in Revelation chapter 3. We found out that they had started well, just like any other church. For many centuries, it is believed that from 2nd century to the 14th century, they were on fire for Jesus. They were on fire for Jesus all these centuries. But then, as this letter is being written, we found out that they went to a sleeping mode. They had become so sleepy, they were dozing. So Christ is writing to this church and is also speaking to you and me today to watch out for two things that we do, two pointers that Christ is trying to show to you and me today that puts us in a sleeping mode. Because for you and me, the moment we stop growing, we start dozing, we start sleeping. So there were two things that this church was doing that had to put them in this sleeping mode. And the first one is that they were focused so much on building a name. Revelation 3:1 says, the part B says, I know all the things you do and that you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. They were focused so much on having a name throughout the centuries as they were growing, as they had different activities happening at this church. They became so focused in building their name. A name. And all the people that knew this church could definitely say, this church is doing good things. But according to Christ's measuring stick, these guys were dead. These guys were sleeping. So we see that they were so much focused on having a name and forgot the main thing, which is Christ Jesus himself. If you read Revelation 3, verse 1 at the beginning, Christ is introducing himself as the one who has the sevenfold spirit and the seven stars. Sevenfold spirit. In other words, he's the one who had the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And the seven stars, those were the eldership of the church. So he was telling this church that, I have what you need. I have the Holy Spirit, but you have not tapped into it. I'm the one who controls your eldership, your leadership, but then you have chosen not to tap into me. They wanted to build a name so much that they forgot to bear Christ's name. Because at the end of the day, this is Christ's church. It's Christ's church. And they wanted a name so much that they replaced the name of the church. They replaced their reputation with Christ's name. So Christ is saying, you are so much focused on building a name, you have forgotten about me. Because I have the power of the church, the Holy Spirit, which you have not tapped into. So we see that this was a serious thing. It was a church running around like a headless chicken. It had no head. They didn't involve Christ Jesus because they were so much focused on building a name. And I know as believers nowadays, it's so easy to become like this. It's so easy for us, for you and me, to make sure that we have a name. We have a reputation. We are called Christians. So we want to prove that we are Christians. So we do all the things just to prove we are Christians. But we haven't been called to prove that we are Christians. We have been called to live out our Christianity. Amen. So this is what was going on in Sardis. And this can also happen in the churches nowadays. It can also happen in this church nowadays, where we are so much focused on building a reputation, of building a name for our own, and we forgot Christ, who has the power, who has the authority of the church. So this, by being focused on the name, we see that they started sleeping. Spiritually, they were dying. But we see the other pointer, not only on building the name, but what put them to sleep again is their deeds. Their deeds. Christ says, I know all the things you do, and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. They were so much focused on their deeds. They wanted to prove to people that they are the church. So there are a lot of things that they were doing. And to an outsider, they could see that this church was heavily involved in communities. They were heavily involved in doing all kinds of things. All their deeds that they were doing not in the name of Jesus. They were doing not in the power of Jesus. Meaning they had confidence in their deeds. They were satisfied by looking at their deeds. And like I said, the Sardis church had been there for many centuries. They were able to look back and see all the accomplishments, and they were satisfied. They look back and say, oh, we did that, we did that, we did that. And they were like, yeah, we are good. So Christ is coming and saying, I know your deeds. And I have weighed them. They weigh nothing. They weigh nothing because you haven't included me. They weigh nothing because you are trusting me for what I did in the past and not what I can do today and not what I can do tomorrow. They were what the phrase that we say, paize. Anali paize. They were all chilled out. They looked at their past, they were happy with it. They looked at their deeds, and they were happy with it. They didn't tap into the power of God, the Holy Spirit. They stopped trusting in the power of God. They stopped trusting in what God could do for their lives. And like I said, the moment you and me stop growing spiritually, we kill the church, because you and me are the church. And I know this happens in our lives as believers, because we always start up good. We all have testimonies of how we came to believe in Jesus, and we have testimonies of how we walked with him the first years of our lives. But then years have passed, and just like the Sardis church, whatever we have left is just to look back and say, I used to be on fire for Jesus, you know? That's what we do, you know? I used to do this for God, but now we have started sleeping. We have started dozing because we are looking at our past. And again, the reason why we sneak in church quietly and we don't want to be accountable, we don't want to be involved in church, is because we are afraid that people will catch us that we are sleeping. We are sleeping. But we need the community of believers to wake us up. There's no way we can grow in isolation. That's why we have this church. This church is not just for Sundays. This church is meant to build each other up. This church is meant to keep you and me accountable. So it's very easy for us to go in the motion. And it's very easy for people to look at us and say we have a good reputation. You know, we are coming to church. We attend growth group. All kinds of things that we do. But then there's no power. There's no Jesus in our lives. And we know that deep inside. We know that. We can feel it. We can hear ourselves snoring spiritually. So this is what was going on in the Sardis church. And this is what is going on in many churches today. We are in a sleeping mode because we have stopped holding on to the power, which is Jesus himself. But Jesus is so merciful that he doesn't just dig us and just leaves like doesn't leave us like that. He always has something for us. There's always bad news and there's always some good news in it. So you hear that in this church, unlike other churches, he could commend them for at least something. But when it came to the Sardis church, literally, you know, he was just straight to the point that you guys are dead. But then, just like any other church, they needed this remedy, which Jesus offers. Read with me verse 3. It says, go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. So, in the midst of Jesus pointing out how far they have fallen, how far they have zoned out, how they are in the sleeping mode, he takes them back to reality. He takes them to the truth. He says, go back to what you believed at first. In other words, go back to the truth of the gospel. These guys, they had forgotten that the gospel is power. The gospel is life. And Jesus is pointing to them again and say, go back to what you believed at first. Go back to what you have believed about me. What I did for you and the resurrection. Believe in that again. And I know as people, we always feel like we need the gospel at the beginning of our lives, our walk with the Lord. But that's not true. We need the gospel each and every day because we cannot fully comprehend, we cannot be fully amazed by the fact that God came and died for you and me. This should be something that should always amaze us. And this is something that we should always hold on to because our faith, our life, who we are, our identity as a church comes from that. The gospel of Jesus Christ. So God is giving them a remedy. And this remedy is for all churches in the past, today, and the future churches. This is the remedy. Jesus resurrected. Jesus, the one who died on the cross for you and me. That's the power of the gospel. And that was the remedy that God gave to this Sardis church. And he's also giving to you and me today that if you are in a sleeping mode, you can come to me and I'll give you life, which is me. I'll give you the blood. I'll give you my body because that will give you life. But not only is God giving us the remedy, but we see he also mentions the reward. He also mentions the reward. Verse 5 says, all who are victorious will be clothed in white. I'll never erase their name from the book of life. I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. This has always been the hope of every believer. But when we look at building our own name, when we look at our deeds and not focused on what Christ has done, we also forget the reward. And Jesus had to bring it up again to remind them that there is a hope that we are all waiting for. And I like how he puts it. He breaks it down. He says, all who are victorious will be clothed in white, meaning we shall have the full righteousness we always long for. We shall be so pure. We shall have the righteousness we long for deep inside. But then he says, I'll never erase their names from the book of life. And he uses this phrase because of what was happening in the days in the saddest city. Because when you mess up, there was a list of every name of every human being in the saddest city. So as a part of punishment, if you mess up, they were removing your name in that book of the city, meaning that you are no longer a citizen of Sardis. That was one of the biggest punishment. But if you had done something good, they would inscribe your name with gold, as a reward of your great accomplishments to the city. So we see that Jesus is using the very same thing that was in their day and saying, you know, if you are victorious, definitely you'll be in the book of life. I'll not erase it. Your name will always be there. And lastly, he says, I'll confess your name before my Father that you are mine. We'll stand there, you know, and God will speak on our behalf through Jesus Christ and say, he's mine, she's mine. And that's the hope we always look forward to. So we see that it's always easy for a church, for you and me, to turn into a sleeping mode when we look at our reputation, when we want to make a name for ourselves, and also when we are trusting in our deeds. But thanks be to God that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And lastly, let me leave you with my favorite quote from Tim Keller, who said, a church is a hospital for sinners and not a museum for the saints. Pastor Humphreys.